All right, everybody. Hope you are doing well. So today we will be talking, have another topic that it is called retirement and aging, or retirement and faith. But first of all, we just want to thank you for those that are watching or listening to us. We just thank you. We thank you for just listening and just any ways that we can help. Please give us a call. We'll be glad to talk to you as well. But today we have Pastor Harry Sexton with us. Pastor, I just want to say thank you for taking the opportunity and the time to discuss this topic. A topic that for me, I probably won't live until maybe, if God willing, maybe in 20 years. But I think our retirees have a good life, I think, in my opinion.
You finally gave me a topic that applies to me.
No. Yeah, But listeners, this is, and those that are watching, that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's about retirement and our faith. And so we know that at some point, Pastor Harry, we're going to get to that, you know, whether now or someday, 20 years or 10 years or 5 years, whatever our ages, we're going to retire from the secular world. That 40-hour job or more, so I know some others work more than just the 40 hours a week. You being a cop, you probably know that better than that, yeah. You know. And so, but it is a, like, for example, I don't know. I say it like this, Pastor. It's like ending a chapter, an adventure, and you're starting a new one.
Invariably. Yeah, I officially retired Christmas of 2017, but I haven't stopped working.
I know. At all. Wait, you retired?
Yeah, allegedly. I mean, from one career, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, Pastor, so many of those listening and watching have a secular job at some point, as I mentioned, and their lives will, and they will retire, obviously. Does a believer get affected, whether mentally or spiritually, when one gets to this point?
Well, you kind of have to understand also some of the thinking on this. Because the Bible really doesn't address retirement.
Right.
The whole concept of retirement is really only about 150 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't anything that anybody even...
Before you work until you die.
Absolutely. You stayed doing something.
Right.
In the days of a more agrarian society, you know, with farms and whatnot, yeah, maybe you couldn't be out playing, but you'd be doing something else. And as long as you could physically do something. So this whole concept of retirement is kind of a new concept anyway.
Right.
We also have to understand that work was something that man was created to do from the beginning.
Right.
Adam was working in the garden.
Yep.
We think, oh, the garden. No, there's not. I'll just eat from this tree. He was to tend the garden. He was to name the animals, i.e., take ownership of them, make sure that everything was working and going well, and keeping the garden tended all that. So a lot of people tend to think that, and my students that where I teach up at Grand Canyon, we kind of cover this, and they get the idea that work happened after the fall, after they ate from the forbidden tree. Yep. I said, no, work was already there. Work became difficult after the fall. But work has always been a part of it. And so as we're kind of looking into the far future that the Bible lays out for us, and in the book of Revelation and other places, and God's going to make everything new again, make a new heavens and earth, well, what's he going to make it look like? What he did the first time, because that was perfect. And what was involved the first time?
Right. So what you're telling me is that after that, we're still going to work.
Still going to work. Heaven is not going to be hanging around with a harp on a cloud and a white robe and going pling, pling, pling.
I was hoping I was going to be eating grapes or something.
It won't be so problematic.
Right.
It won't. Work will be something that honors God and brings God honor and glory. But we were created to work.
Wow. And my next question, Pastor, is we've seen pastors retire, and we've seen them come and go in your lifetime and as well as in mine. Is there an age limit on when should one stop ministerial work, whether as a pastor or just as a someone who, as just as a, you're as a Christian, as a believer who does ministerial work, whether that's with kids, with youth, with adults, what do you think?
Yeah. Again, the Bible doesn't address it too much. If you go back into the Old Testament and look at in the books of the law and how the temple was to be set up and whatnot,
right?
The priests were told to, at about age 50, to quit moving the heavy pieces of furniture.
Right.
And because when the tabernacle was being set up in town, before there was a permanent temple set up. And so he said, when you reach that age, you're going to quit doing the heavy lifting.
Right.
But they were still priests.
Right.
So they were still, now they were moved more into a mentoring and teaching role for the younger men so that they could learn how to properly serve God, to do all of the sacrifices and all that sort of stuff. So even there, where there kind of is a look of, hey, when you reach a certain age, it was basically, you know, God knew that your physical body begins to break down to one degree or another. So he said, I'm going to have you stop doing the heavy lifting, but you still have other work to do, particularly in the training of the next generation coming up.
Right, right. So they still took a role, even after, if they were not able to do a certain role, they continued to be worked as priests and just do lighter work?
Yeah.
So you think for those that are retired, like as we, they don't pastor as a full time pastor anymore, there are still roles that they can.
Oh, absolutely!
Do exercise.
You've got a ton of experience and right. knowledge from however many years or decades of service.
Right.
Why let that just rot at the bottom of a cup? Let's pour that into other people's lives and give them the benefit of everything, all the mistakes.
Right, right.
I've learned so much more from all of the dumb things that I've done
right.
than from my study and everything else, where yeah. I've made the mistake, and then God has corrected and reproved me, and then I go, okay. Yeah. So why should, you know, you're a little bit younger than I am. Yeah. Why if I see you going down a path that I've gone and have made that mistake, why should I just stand back and watch you go through it again?
Yeah, right.
I should be able to come in and say, hey, Caesar, I've done this. Here's the results. Don't do this. Here's a better way right. of doing that
right.
So that you don't have to go through that as well. So that is one of the roles, particularly as a senior pastor that maybe is not up in front of a congregation every week
right.
and doing the administrative stuff in the office. If I'm still breathing, God has something for me to do.
Right, right.
One of my famous adages that you've heard, but our audience probably hasn't, but I've told other people throughout the years, is God has a phenomenal retirement plan.
Yeah.
It just isn't here.
Right, right.
There is no retirement plan on this earth for Christian service, for serving God.
Right. And I think that you're going to bring me to my next question. And I think this one, we've heard it a lot. At least I have, and I'm sure you have as well. And I'm going to read what I have in my notes. So I've heard many say in ministerial work, I've done my time. What do you think of that? Of this attitude from a believer and your response as a pastor and as a servant of God?
Yeah.
I've done my time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to do this anymore. I did that for 20 years. I did this for 40 years, so on.
I have heard that, and it kind of hurts my heart a little bit because they've lost their focus. They've lost their love
right.
for people. Right. Again, let's go back to the Bible. New Testament, the Apostle John,
mm-hmm.
the only guy who doesn't get martyred. He gets boiled in oil, which, oh my goodness, right. did that have to
painful.
Have hurt?
Yeah.
But he continues serving and writing into his 90s.
Wow. Yep.
Moses, go back to the Old Testament. He's probably somewhere close to 80 when he goes before Pharaoh. God does all of those phenomenal miracles, and then finally his people, and he starts the journey
right
through the desert, leading those people somewhere around 80. Daniel, the famous story of Daniel and the lion's den. And I've seen, now I'm old, I'm going to mention a term you've probably never heard of called a flannel graph. Big piece of flannel, and they'd have little characters, and it would just stick to the flannel, and they could tell a story with it.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Invariably, I've seen those. I've seen them in Sunday school. And Daniel is always this kind of, you know, 25, 30-year-old guy. No. This is late in his life. Yeah. When he gets thrown into that lion's den, spends the night in there, because he refused to stop praying and all that, if you know the story, he's somewhere in his 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And he is busy serving God and facing lions
right.
for God. Yeah. So when I begin to look at that, in the story of Jesus, the two old folks in the temple,
right,
when he's a brand new baby, a male and a female. So now, you know, the scripture gives us a picture of a male and a female, both well into their later years. And there she is serving day after day in the temple and whatnot. So I get word picture after word picture after word picture of people in their senior years that are busy serving and doing something for God and doing some phenomenal stories.
Right. Definitely, definitely. You know, and I think not only if when I've heard people say, you know, I've done my time, and you kind of said, you know, why we should not have that attitude. Like you said, we have lost, or they have lost that focus. Of why they're even...
Why they're in ministry in the first place.
Yep.
Plus, the whole idea of retirement, this Western, and it's much more of a Western concept than a Eastern concept, is that what am I going to do in retirement? What's the whole idea? I'm going to play.
Yeah.
I'm going to I'm going to go on cruise after cruise. I'm going to live on the golf course. I'm going to, you know, whatever. And it's all about self-pleasure.
Right.
Well, the Bible has a lot to say about that. Yeah. Now, is there anything wrong with going on a cruise?
No.
Going and playing golf? Going to a, you know, an arts and crafts class that you've always wanted to take? Absolutely not. But if that becomes the focus of your life, instead of being in the service of the Lord God Himself, then you already have a problem. And that can happen at any age.
Yep.
I've seen young guys that are they're all about the weekend. They're all about the play.
Yep.
And they've lost their focus on what they're supposed to be doing.
And I think that's just sad, you know, to hear about that. And I think it's so important that to remember we need to keep our focus on why we are serving, why we are, you know, as servants of God. But another thing, Pastor, and I forgot, I didn't put that in there because it just, for me, it just made me think about it. You know, as those that have been in ministry work for a long time, whether it's a pastor or serving in different areas of ministries, and sometimes you kind of just see them more of the instead of helping out those that are the younger generations. You know, I kind of see more of a criticizing opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of kind of being that support, like you said, I learned through those bad mistakes. I'm going to help you that you don't make those mistakes.
Exactly.
You know.
If I'm going to love my neighbor, I need to get in. Love, of course, biblically, and we've discussed this before in another podcast, is not an emotion, it's an action.
Yeah.
If I'm going to love you, I need to get involved and start doing things for you, including going, stop. Yeah. Yep. The bridge is out right around the corner. I know. I've already driven off that cliff. Yeah. Don't do this. But this whole retirement thing, and a guy that you and I both know just recently retired. And one of the things that he said is, you know what, now that I've retired and was in the secular world, now that I've retired, I have even more time to put into God's work.
Yep.
Now, that's the attitude.
Yep.
See, retirement as not a, I can spend even more time on the golf course, even more time on a cruise ship, even more time sitting on my recliner, you know, flipping channels.
Yeah.
I've got even more time to serve God.
Yeah.
That's the attitude.
Yeah, and I think that brings me to my last question. For someone who is retired, they no longer have that 40-hour that consumes them every single week. They're done. They have know that, you know, they're done with their secular world hours, and, you know, that's no longer there. What do you think, how do you think they should approach, you know, as this, you know, as just as the example you gave, someone who's retired, how do you think they should approach their life now as a retiree and as a Christian?
You have to take some self-assessment of what can I still do.
Right.
Our bodies break down, and maybe you can't do some of these things, but what can I do?
Yeah.
And it may even require a little more education or a little more retraining, a little retooling.
Yeah.
Who knows? I've seen some, and I'm talking seniors. I'm a lot older than you. There's people a lot older than me. And I've heard some of them, I just don't even, and I've heard this quote numerous times. Mm. I don't know why God has me still here.
Yeah.
Because they're 88, 90, 92, something, you know, whatever. If God is still giving you breath, that means you still have something to do.
Yeah.
And it may be something, and I hate to couch it in these terms, but it may be something as simple as now you have the time to become a prayer warrior.
Yeah,
you can't get out there and run with the kids at Wednesday night club. you don't have that kind of stamp. Or maybe, you know, physically you're locked in a wheelchair now. Your legs are, who knows? Yeah. But now you have a ministry of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard one story where it was literally a ministry of presence. The fact that this person was faithfully in church every single Sunday. And other people saw that. See, that's one of the things we fail to understand, and we say, "Well, I'm not going to church today. I'm not." The fact that you are physically there ministers to other people.
Mm. Yeah.
And now here's this godly man, this godly woman who's 93 years old, 90, and there they are, and you see them every single Sunday. Maybe they can't stand to sing anymore, but you see them still just singing with what breath that they have.
Yeah.
That ministers. That's work.
Yeah.
That's honoring God. So if he's giving you breath,
that is
you
so true.
Have something to do to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord.
I remember this older lady. She had to be close to 90. Mana Chilita, she passed away years ago. But just seeing her at church, me being 18 years old, 19 years old, and she will come and hug you. And you could have had the worst day in your life. And once she hugged you, it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, it was just a big support, a big help, a big encouragement. So just like you said, just being there helps just so much to encourage our brothers and sisters that are out there.
Absolutely. And that's still work. We had a lady at our church who passed away a few years ago, octogenarian, maybe in her 90s. I forget where she was. But she was known as Grandma Hugs.
Mm.
And that's what she did.
Yeah.
She literally just sat in a chair. She would come on Wednesday nights to the club. She couldn't run with the kids.
Yeah.
She couldn't even really do much teaching. She would just sit there and hug the children.
Wow.
And for some of them, with their family history, that was the best part of their week. And there she was serving and working for the Lord by just hugging children.
Yeah.
And then she would go home.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Not retired. I mean, she's retired. She wasn't secularly working, but she was still working. She was still doing with what God gave her at that point.
And I think I'm glad that we have some of those type of members here at our church as well.
Yes.
That they're you know, they're older, but they're still serving, whether that's grief share, that's women's Bible study, or whatever, you know, being outside or just giving some hugs or just words of encouragement. We have those.
Or just physically showing up in church and showing the younger generation, this is what faithful service looks like.
So basically, until our last breath, we will serve and worship God.
Yep. And then we will be translated to a whole new level where we will continue to serve and worship God.
So you think you're going to be done with work? Nope.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Mm-mm. It's just in the next life, the work is going to be effective,
right,
and it won't be so problematic, and it will be a joy.
Yeah. And I think it's an honor, pastors, to serve God. We have a big privilege, and we're in the people business, you know, as I heard, you know, and we are an instrument to help others to find Christ, to know God,
mm-hmm,
you know, and that's just...
And to build up the body who already does.
Yes, 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 you know, and so I think we all play a major role. No one's lesser than the other.
Nope.
One's bigger or better than another.
Mm-mm.
You know, and so that's just great. So we hope that this this topic has been a blessing to you.
An encouragement.
An encouragement.
You still have something to do.
Yeah, we just got to continue on and working and serving God. So thank you, Pastor Harry, for being here. And so if you can, Pastor, can you just finish this topic or this episode with a prayer?
Oh, absolutely.
And praying for those that are watching and maybe at some point said, well, I did my time. And I get it. We all lose focus sometimes.
Yep.
You know, and I think it's just to get that focus back on where we should. Or you're not serving, or you think you're not, just because you're not doing anything, you are.
Yeah.
So can you pray, Pastor?
Absolutely. Oh, Heavenly Father, it is such an honor and a privilege to be able to step into your throne room. And Father God, we know that that's only possible because of the work that you did.
Yep.
Father, you are a working God. You have always been at work. You continue to work even now, today, in our lives, in the lives of the audience that's listening to this. Mm. And Father, you will work through eternity. And so you've called your creation to imitate you and work as well. Father, as some of us move into different stages of life, help us to hold our focus. Know what we have been created to do, which is to honor and worship you, Father. And we can do that as long as you give us breath. It may be in a prayer life. It may be in a service life. It may be in a full-time service. It could be in a thousand different ways, Father, but help us to see who you are, what you do, and what you have in store for us. Father, your retirement plan is amazing. And I, for one, can't wait to get there so that I can work even more effectively for you. Mm. Father, I thank you for the listeners that you have brought to this podcast. Father, bless them for having taken the time to listen and to consider who you are and what it is that you have for your believers to do. Increase their focus even more on you, Father. We thank you for all of this in the name of your mighty Son, Jesus. Amen.